The book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 50 is where we begin today's study, Isaiah 50 and 51. Father, we pray that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah 50 verse 1, thus says the Lord, where is the certificate of your mother's divorce, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it, to whom I have sold you? For your iniquities you have sold yourselves, and for your transgressions your mother has been put away. The people could not blame God or anybody else for their hard times. God did not divorce them. He did not sell them. They were experiencing trouble because they have been continually doing wrong. And they have been doing wrong in the eyes of God. And so now they are reaping what they sow. And it says in verse 2, why, when I came, was there no man? Why, when I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot save? Or have I no power to deliver? Indeed, with my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stink because there is no water, and die of thirst. God says to his people, you are in trouble because of your own sin. Fortunately for you, I have the means to rescue you. Verse 3, I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. When his people have fallen into a deep hole, they have dug with their sin, he's still able to help them. And that's because God does the impossible when it suits his purpose, when it's the right thing to do. For the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. So God is speaking here in his word about Isaiah. Isaiah is actually referring to himself. God gave Isaiah the words to say, and that is what qualified Isaiah to speak words that profit, and words which are worth listening to because they are the words of God. Verse 5, the Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. In other words, what made Isaiah such an effective preacher is that he listened to God. The Lord opened up his ears. He listened to God. He heard God's word, and he understood it. And then he spoke it accurately. That's really all that it takes to be a good preacher and a good Bible teacher. Pretty much sums it up. Verse 6, I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. Isaiah, the servant of God, was effective because he was willing to suffer for God. In those days, it was shameful for an Israelite not to have a beard. So we can see that Isaiah was willing to suffer pain, and is also willing to suffer shame and not quit. 7, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. Isaiah's face was as hard as a stone. He was doing God's work. He was doing God's work God's way. No shame, no insult could deter Isaiah. Verse 8, he is near who justifies me, who will contend with me. Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. And what great confidence is seen right here. And what great confidence comes from walking with the Lord. That's the key. How can you be confident about anything if it's just your thoughts or just what you want? There's no confidence there. But people could insult and try to shame Isaiah, but he knew that God the judge would find him not guilty. And that's what was important to him. And that's why he had confidence. If you're right with the eternal God, then it doesn't matter who else you're right with. You can have confidence. And it doesn't matter what anybody thinks of you, you can still have confidence. So that's why Isaiah was bold and confident in what he said, and he wouldn't quit. Verse 9, surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Isaiah says, all my enemies may say that I'm guilty, but God's verdict of innocent will trump all their accusations. So it doesn't matter. Verse 10, who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. In other words, God's people should keep on trusting him and keep on doing what is right, even if they don't see any light at the end of the tunnel yet. Just keep living for God, because life is going to be over soon for everyone. Verse 11. Look, all you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with sparks. Walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks you have kindled. This you shall have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment. In other words, all those who refuse to hear the word of God, but instead walk in their own ways, may do so if that's what they want. But they are warned that they will suffer a terrible punishment for the wrong choice. Let's go into chapter 51. Verse 1, listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. And that would be Abraham. That would be Abraham. He is the rock from who the Israelites have been hewn. The father of the faithful is Abraham. He was a good man who lived by faith. God says, if you want to know how to live, study that man. He got it right. And so he says in verse 2, look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. Abraham was a very old, childless man, with a very old, barren wife. But God did the impossible for him by giving him a large family. And he had a reason for doing that with him. Verse 3. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. The future of God's faithful people, in other words, is a happy one. Verse 4. Listen to me, my people, and give ear to me, O my nation. For law will proceed from me, and I will make my justice rest as a light of the peoples. God says, if we follow his word, then justice will prevail. It's not God's fault that there's so much injustice in the world. God instructs, but man does not listen. That's the problem. That's the problem right across the board. I don't care if it's on the national level or the personal level. That was the problem with Israel. So that's why they were in so much hot water. Verse 5, my righteousness is near. My salvation has gone forth. And my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands will wait upon me. And on my arm they will trust. God says, I know what I'm doing, and I'm going to straighten things out when the time is right. 6. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look on the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish away like smoke. The earth will grow old like a garment, and those who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will not be abolished. In the end, the only thing that really matters is being right with God through Jesus Christ. Nothing else matters much because everything else is temporary. Verse 7. Listen to me, you who know righteousness, you people in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their revilings. Do not be afraid of their revilings. God says, keep doing what's right, and don't fear those who hate you because of it. Verse 8, for the moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool, but my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. The Lord says, those people who do not like you because you want to please God, well, don't worry about them because they're going to rot away. But I'll save you forever if you stick with me. Verse 9, awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Are you not the arm that cut Rahab apart and wounded the serpent? No one has to wake God up, because God never goes to sleep. He's always aware of what's happening. It's people who get sleepy, spiritually, as well as physically. Verse 10, are you not the one who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, that made the depths of the sea a road for the redeemed to cross over? So the writer is calling on God to act on behalf of his people like he's done in the past, like when he split the Red Sea for them or the Jordan River for them. Verse 11, so the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. So he has confidence that God will help his people when the time is right. 12, I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die, and of the son of a man who will be made like grass? God tells us not to be afraid of people. That's what he's saying. All they are is mortal humans. God is on our side, and God is God. No wonder Jesus said, do not fear those who can only kill the body but can't do anything after that. Verse 13, and you forget the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. You have feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor when he has prepared to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? God says, don't forget how great I am. Fear and worry sneaks in when people forget how great God is. God is reminding them, where are all these oppressors from the past that everybody was afraid of? Where are they? They're gone. God's still here. 14, the captive exile hastens that he may be loosed, that he should not die in the pit, and that his bread should not fail. It may be bad for God's people, but God knows. It may be bad for God's people, but God knows what's going on, no matter how bad it is. And he will make things better as soon as he decides that the time is right. Verse 15, but I am the Lord your God, who divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. The God who can stir the ocean waves like you can stir the water in a saucepan doesn't have any trouble helping us. doesn't have any trouble doing whatever it needs, that whatever it might, whatever needs to be done, period. 16. And I have put my words in your mouth. I have covered you with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens, lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. God put his words in Isaiah's mouth. So it's never an issue between the preacher and the people if the preacher is speaking the holy word of God. It's always an issue between God and the people. Preachers like Isaiah or anybody else, if they're preaching the word of God and the people don't like it, it's not an issue between them and the people. If they don't like it, it's an issue between them and God, that they've got to be reconciled to God. And even if they do like what the preacher is saying, if he's preaching the word of God, again, it's not the issue between, the issue isn't between them and the preacher, it's between them and God. Then things are right. Things are the way they should be. 17, awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, you who have drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. You have drunk the dregs of the cup of trembling and drained it out. God had punished his people because they disobeyed him, and that was a severe punishment too. Verse 18, there is no one to guide her among all the sons she has brought forth, nor is there any who takes her by the hand among all the sons she has brought up. No one could help them because there is no defense against the wrath of God when it hits. But there is no shield against the wrath of God when it hits. Verse 19. These two things have come to you. Who will be sorry for you? Desolation and destruction, famine and sword. By whom will I comfort you? So they suffered from war and starvation, and there was no sympathy from anyone. And even if there would have been, big deal. 20, your sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets, like an antelope in a net. They are full of the fury of the Lord, the rebuke of your God. God blasted his sinning people, and they were lying in the streets like dead animals as a result. 21, therefore, please hear this, you afflicted and drunk, but not with wine. He says in verse 22, thus says the Lord, thus says your Lord, the Lord and your God, who pleads the cause of his people. See, I have taken out of your hand the cup of trembling, the dregs of the cup of my fury. You shall no longer drink it. The Lord God punished hard, but now their punishment was over. That's how God does it. Punishes. Sometimes it has to be severe, but when it has run its course and done its job, according to the just God, then it's all over. He puts an end to it. Verse 23, but I will put it into the hand of those who afflict you, who have said to you, lie down, that we may walk over you. And you have laid your body like the ground and as the street for those who walk over. The Lord God punished hard. God says, I'm going to turn the tables on you, my people. I'm going to set you free and give those who hurt you a taste of their own medicine now. And we'll stop right there. We'll pick it up next time in Isaiah chapter 52. Until then, this is Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.